Hello, Norman Rockwell.
True, she conceded. Maybe it's some sort of defense mechanism. Like, he's bitter and feels like he has to work harder and prove himself to everyone all the time because he's so damn pretty? I snorted. There isn't a deep reason. He thinks everyone should care as much and work as hard as he does, and most people don't. It pisses him off.
Are you defending him, Chloe? Sarah asked with a surprised grin.
Definitely not. I noticed Julia's blue eyes were trained on me and had narrowed in silent accusation. I'd done my share of complaining about my boss in the past several months, but maybe I'd never mentioned that he was gorgeous?
Chloe, have you been holding out on me? Is your boss a hot piece? She asked.
He is gorgeous, but his personality makes it pretty hard to appreciate. I tried to be as nonchalant as I could. Julia had a way of reading every thought I had.
Well, she said, shrugging her shoulders and taking a long sip of her drink, maybe he's pissed off because he's got a tiny dick.
I tipped back my champagne flute as my two friends howled in fits of laughter. Monday morning, I was a bundle of nerves as I made my way into the building. I'd made my decision. I wasn't going to sacrifice my job because of our lack of judgment. I wanted to finish this position with a stellar presentation for the scholarship board, and then leave and start my career. No more sex, no more fantasizing. I could easily work, business only, with Mr. Ryan for another few months. Feeling the need for a boost of confidence, I wore the new dress Julia had given me. It hugged my curves without looking too provocative. But my secret confidence weapon was my underwear. I'd always had a thing for expensive lingerie, and early on had learned where to hunt for the best sales. Wearing something sexy under my clothes was empowering, and the pair I had on would most certainly do the trick. They were black silk in front, embellished with embroidery, and the back consisted of a series of delicate tulle ribbons, crisscrossing to meet in the center near my tailbone with a dainty black bow. With each step, the fabric of my dress caressed my bare skin. I could take whatever Mr. Ryan had to say today, and I could dish it right back to him. I'd arrived early to have time to prepare for the presentation. It wasn't strictly my job, but Mr. Ryan refused to have a dedicated assistant, and when left to his own devices, he was a disaster at making meetings pleasant. No coffee, no pastries, just a room full of people, pristine slides and handouts, and, as always, endless work. The lobby was empty. The wide space opened three stories up and gleamed with polished granite flooring and travertine walls. As the elevator doors closed behind me, I gave myself a mental pep talk, recounting all the arguments we'd had and the jackass comments he'd made.
Type. Don't write anything longhand. Your handwriting looks like a third grader's, Miss Mills. If I wanted to enjoy your entire conversation with your graduate advisor, I'd leave my office door open and get some popcorn. Please keep your voice down.
I could do this. That bastard had picked the wrong woman to mess with, and I'd be damned if I would let him intimidate me. I lowered my hand to my ass and smiled wickedly. Power panties. As I expected, the office was still empty when I arrived. I gathered everything he would need for his presentation and headed to the conference room to set up. I tried to ignore the Pavlovian response I had to seeing the wall of windows, the gleaming conference table. Stop it, body. Engage now, brain. Glancing around the sun-filled room, I set the files and laptop on the large conference table and helped the catering staff set up the breakfast spread along the back wall. 20 minutes later, the proposals were set out, the projector was prepared, and refreshments were ready. With time to spare, I found myself wandering over to the window. I reached out and touched the smooth glass, overwhelmed by the sensations it brought. The heat of his body against my back.
the feel of the cool glass against my breasts, and the raw animalistic sound of his voice in my ear. "Ask me to make you come." I closed my eyes and leaned in, pressing my palms and forehead against the window, and let the power of the memories overtake me. I was startled from my fantasy by a throat clearing behind me.
"Daydreaming on the clock?"
"Mr. Ryan," I gasped, spinning around. Our eyes locked, and I was once again struck by how beautiful he was. He broke eye contact to survey the room.
"Miss Mills," he said, each word sharp and clipped.
"I'll be giving the presentation on the fourth floor."
"Excuse me?" I asked, irritation flooding me. "Why? We always use this room. And why did you wait until the last minute to tell me?"
"Because," he growled, leaning on his fists on the table, "I am the boss. I make the rules and I decide when and where things happen. Maybe if you weren't intent on staring out windows, you would have taken the time this morning to come confirm the details with me."
My mind flooded with white-hot images of my fist connecting with his throat. It took every bit of control I had not to jump across the table and strangle him. A smug smile crept over his face. "Fine by me," I said, swallowing my annoyance. "No good decisions are ever made in this room anyway." When I turned the corner into the new conference room, my eyes immediately met Mr. Ryan's. Sitting in his chair, his hands predictably tented in front of him, he was the portrait of barely contained patience. Typical. Then I noticed the person beside me, Elliot Ryan.
"Here, let me help you with that, Chloe," he said, taking a stack of folders from my arms so I could more easily maneuver the cart full of food into the room.
"Thank you, Mr. Ryan." I shot a pointed look at my boss.
"Chloe," the elder Mr. Ryan said, laughing.
He took some handouts and sent the stack around the table for the attendees to take.
"How many times do I need to tell you to call me Elliot?"
He was every bit as handsome as both of his sons. Tall and muscular, all three Ryan men shared the same chiseled features. Elliot's salt-and-pepper hair had turned silver over the years since I'd first met him, but he was still one of the most handsome men I'd ever met. I smiled gratefully at him as I sat down. "How is Susan doing?"
"She's doing fine. She keeps bugging me about having you over," he added with a wink.
It didn't escape my attention that the youngest Mr. Ryan snorted in annoyance beside me. "Please tell her hi from me." Footsteps sounded behind me, and a hand reached out to gently tug my ear.
"Hey, kiddo," Henry Ryan said, giving me a wide grin. He turned to address the rest of the room. "Sorry I'm late, guys. I guess I thought we were meeting up on your floor."
I chanced a smug look out of the corner of my eye, meeting my boss's gaze. The stack of handouts came back to me, and I handed a copy to him. "Here you are, Mr. Ryan." Without so much as a glance, he snatched the stack and began leafing through them. Dick. Just as I was taking my seat, Henry's boisterous voice called out,
"Oh, Chloe, while I was up there waiting, I found these on the floor."
I walked over to him and saw two antiqued silver buttons sitting in his palm.
"Would you ask around and see if anyone's lost these? They look kind of expensive."
I felt my face heat. I had completely forgotten about my ruined shirt. Sure.
"Henry, can I see those for a minute?"
Jackass suddenly chimed in, taking them from his brother. He turned to me with a wicked smirk in place.
"Don't you have a blouse with buttons like these?"
I glanced quickly around the room. Henry and Elliot were already absorbed in another conversation, oblivious to what was happening between us. "No," I said, trying to sound as disinterested as possible. "I don't."
"Are you sure?"
Taking my hand, he ran a finger from the inside of my arm to my palm before dropping the buttons and closing my hand around them.
My breath caught in my throat, and my heart pounded fiercely against my chest. I jerked my hand back as if I'd been burned.
I'm sure.
I could have sworn the blouse you wore the other day had little silver buttons.
The pink one?
I remember because I noticed one of them was loose when you came looking for me upstairs.
If possible, I felt my face heat further. What was he playing at? Was he trying to insinuate that I had orchestrated a way to get him alone in the conference room?
Leaning in closely, his breath hot on my ear, he whispered, "You really should try to be more careful."
I attempted to maintain my calm as I lowered my hand from his.
"You bastard,"
I replied through gritted teeth before he pulled away, looking taken aback. How could he look surprised, as if I'd been the one to break the rules? It was one thing to be a dick to me, but to jeopardize my reputation in front of other executives? He was going to get an earful later. Throughout the meeting, we cast glances at each other, mine fueled with anger, and his with increasing uncertainty. I looked down at the spreadsheets in front of me as much as possible to avoid looking at him. As soon as it was all over, I gathered my things and got the hell out of there. But as expected, he was hot on my tail all the way to the elevator until we were both seething silently in the back on our way up to the office.
Why wouldn't this thing hurry up? And why did someone on every floor decide they needed to use it now?
People all around us were talking on phones, shuffling files, discussing lunch plans. The noise grew to a heavy buzz, nearly drowning out the verbal ass-kicking I was giving Mr. Ryan in my head. By the time we reached the 11th floor, the elevator was almost at capacity. When the door opened and three more people decided to squeeze in, I was pushed farther into him, my back against his chest and my ass against his...
Oh.
I felt the rest of his body stiffen subtly and heard him take a sharp breath. Instead of pressing into him, I stepped as far away as I could. He reached forward and gripped my hip, pulling me back again.
"I liked that ass against me," he murmured, low and warm into my ear. "Where do you..."
"I'm 2 seconds away from castrating you with my heel."
He leaned even closer.
"Why are you suddenly more pissy than usual?"
I turned my head and said in barely a whisper,
"It would be just like you to make me look like a career-climbing whore in front of your father."
He dropped his hand, slack-jawed.
"No. Blink. Blink."
"What?"
Confused, Mr. Ryan was surprisingly hot.
"Bastard. I was just playing around."
"What if they'd heard you?"
"They didn't."
"They could have."
He genuinely looked like the thought had never occurred to him, and it probably hadn't. It was easy for him to play games from his perch at the top. He was the workaholic executive. I was the girl halfway up the ladder. The person on our left glanced over, and we both stood straight, looked forward. I elbowed him sharply in the side, and he pinched my ass hard enough to make me gasp.
"I won't apologize," he said under his breath.
"Of course you won't, dick."
He pressed into me again, and I felt the length of him grow even harder, the traitor warmth spreading between my legs. We reached the 15th floor, and a few more people filed out. I reached behind me, slid my hand between us, and palmed him. He exhaled a warm puff against my neck, whispering,
"Fuck yes."
And then I squeezed.
"Fuck, sorry," he hissed into my ear.
I let go, dropping my hand and grinning to myself.
"Christ, I was just playing around with you."
The 16th floor. The rest of the crowd exited in a single rush, apparently headed to the same meeting. As soon as the doors closed and the elevator began to move, I heard a growl from behind me and caught a quick, sudden movement as Mr. Ryan slammed his hand against the stop button on the control panel. His eyes turned on me, and they were darker than I had ever seen them.
In one fluid motion, he pinned me against the wall of the elevator with his body. He pulled away just long enough to give me an angry glare and mutter, "Don't move." And even though I wanted to tell him to fuck off, my body begged me to do whatever he said. Reaching over to my discarded files, he plucked a sticky note off the top and placed it over the camera lens set into the ceiling. His face was only a couple of inches from mine, his breath coming out in sharp bursts against my cheek.
"I would never imply you're trying to fuck your way to the top," he exhaled, bending into my neck. "You're thinking too much."
I pulled back as much as I could, gaping at him.
"You're not thinking enough. This is my career we're talking about. You have all of the power here. You have nothing to lose."
"I have the power? You're the one who pressed into my dick in the elevator. You're the one doing this to me."
I felt my expression soften. I wasn't used to seeing him be vulnerable with me, even a little.
"Then don't blindside me."
After a long pause, he nodded. The sound of the building all around us filled the elevator as we continued to stare at each other. The ache for contact began to build, first in my navel and spreading lower between my legs. He bent forward, licking my jaw before covering my lips with his, and an involuntary groan rumbled in my throat as his hardened cock pressed against my stomach. My body began acting on instinct, and my leg wrapped around his, pressing me closer against his arousal, my hands finding their way to his hair. He pulled back just long enough for his fingers to flick at the clasp at my waist. My dress drifted apart in front of him.
"Such an angry kitty," he whispered,
placing his hands on my shoulders. He looked into my eyes and slid the fabric to the floor. Goosebumps spread along my skin as he took my hands, turned me around, and pressed my palms against the wall. Reaching up, he removed the silver comb from my hair, letting it fall down my naked back. Taking my hair in his hands, he roughly pulled my head to the side, giving him access to my neck. Hot, wet kisses rained down my spine and across my shoulders. His touch left a spark of electricity over every inch of skin he touched. On his knees behind me, he grabbed my ass and pressed his teeth into the flesh, eliciting a sharp gasp from me before he stood back up.
"Holy hell, how does he know to do these things to me?" "Did you like that?"
His fingers pressed and pulled at my breasts. "Being bitten on the ass?"
"Maybe." "You're such a filthy fucking girl."
I yelped out in surprise as I felt his hand smack hard where his teeth had just been, and my only response was a moan of pleasure. I breathed in another sharp gasp as his hands clasped the delicate ribbons of my underwear and ripped it off.
"Expect another bill, asshole."
He chuckled darkly and pressed up against me again, the cool wall against my breast sending shivers through my body and pulling forward the memory of the window that first time. I'd forgotten how good the contrast, cold versus warm, hard versus him, felt against me.
"Worth every penny."
His hand slid around my waist and down my abdomen, slipping lower until his finger rested on my clit.
"You know, I think you wear those things just to tease me."
Was he right? Was I delusional, thinking they were for me? The pressure from his touch caused me to ache, his fingers pressing and releasing, leaving me wanting. Moving lower, he stopped right at my entrance.
"You're so wet.
God, you must have been thinking about this all morning."
"Fuck you,"
I groaned, gasping as his finger finally pushed inside, pressing me back into him.
"Say it. Say it, and I'll give you what you want."
A second finger joined the first, and the sensation caused me to cry out.
I shook my head, but my body betrayed me again. He sounded so needy. His words were teasing and controlling, but it felt like he was begging, too. I closed my eyes, trying to clear my thoughts, but everything was just too much. The feel of his clothed body against my naked skin, the sound of his rough voice, and the feeling of his long fingers plunging in and out of me had me teetering on the edge. His other hand reached up, firmly pinching my nipple through the sheer fabric of my bra, and I moaned loudly. I was so close.
"Say it,"
he grunted into my ear as his thumb rolled over my clit.
"I won't have you angry with me all day."
I gave in, finally, whispering, "I want you inside me." He let out a low, strangled moan, and his forehead rested on my shoulder as he began moving faster, plunging and circling. His hips ground against my ass, his erection rubbing against me. "Oh, God," I moaned, the coil tightening deep inside, my every thought focused on the pleasure begging to break free. And then, the rhythmic sounds of our panting and groans were suddenly interrupted by the shrill ringing of a phone. We stilled as the realization of where we were crashed down on us. Mr. Ryan cursed as he moved away from me and took the elevator's emergency receiver. Turning, I grabbed my dress, slipped it over my shoulders, and began fastening it with shaking hands.
"Yes."
He sounded so calm, not even a little out of breath. Our eyes locked across the elevator.
"I see. No, we're fine."
He bent over slowly, removing my torn and discarded panties from the elevator floor.
"No, it just stopped."
He listened to the person on the other end while rubbing the silky fabric between his fingers.
"That's fine," he finished, hanging up the phone.
The elevator jerked as it began ascending again. He looked down at the lace in his hand and then back to me. And then he smirked, stepping away from the wall and stalking toward me. Placing one hand next to my head, he leaned in, running his nose along my neck and whispering,
"You smell as good as you feel."
A small gasp escaped me.
"And these," he said, motioning to my panties in his hand, "are mine."
The elevator chimed as we stopped at our floor. The doors opened, and without a single glance back in my direction, he slipped the delicate fabric into the pocket of his suit jacket and strode out. Four.
Panic.
The emotion gripping me as I all but sprinted to my office could only be described as pure panic.
I couldn't believe what was happening.
Being alone with her in that tiny steel prison, her smell, her sounds, her skin, made my self-control evaporate. I was unraveling. This woman had a hold on me unlike anything I'd ever experienced. Finally, in the relative safety of my office, I collapsed on the leather sofa. Leaning forward, I gripped my hair tightly, willing myself to calm and my erection to subside. Things were going from bad to worse. I'd known, from the minute she reminded me of the morning's meeting, that there was no way in hell I could form one coherent thought, let alone give an entire presentation in that fucking conference room. And forget sitting at that table. Walking in there to find her leaning up against the glass, deep in thought, was enough to make me hard again. I'd made up some bullshit story about the meeting being moved to a different floor, and, of course, she called me on it. Why did she always have to antagonize me? I made a point of reminding her of who was in charge. But, as with every other argument we've ever had, she threw it right back in my face. I jumped slightly at a loud thud in the outside office, followed by another one, and yet another. What the hell was going on out there? I stood and made my way to the door, opening it to find Miss Mills slamming down her folders in different piles.
I folded my arms and leaned against the wall, watching her for a moment. The sight of her so angry was not diminishing the problem in my trousers in the slightest.
"Would you mind telling me what your problem is?"
She looked up at me as if I'd sprouted an extra head.
"Are you out of your mind?"
"Not even a little."
"Pardon me if I feel a touch edgy," she hissed, grabbing a stack of folders and roughly shoving them into a drawer.
"I'm not exactly thrilled with the..."
"Bennett," my dad said, walking briskly into my office.
"Great job in there. Henry and I just spoke with Dorothy and Troy, and they were..."
He stopped and stared at where Miss Mills stood, white-knuckling the edge of her desk. "Chloe, dear, are you okay?" She straightened and stretched her fingers, nodding. Her face was beautifully flushed, her hair a little wild. From me. I swallowed and turned to look out the window.
"You don't look well,"
Dad said, walking to her and putting his hand on her forehead.
"You're hot."
I clenched my jaw as I watched their reflection in the glass, a strange feeling clawing its way up my spine.
Where is this coming from?
"Actually," she said, "I do feel a little off."
"Well, you should head home. With your work schedule and having just finished the semester at school, no doubt you're..." "We have a full calendar today, I'm afraid," I said, turning to face them. "I was expecting to finish Beaumont, Miss Mills," I growled through clenched teeth.
My father turned his steely gaze on me.
"I'm sure you can handle whatever needs to be done, Bennett."
He turned back to her.
"You go on ahead."
"Thank you, Elliot."
She looked at me, arching a perfectly sculpted brow.
"See you tomorrow morning, Mr. Ryan."
I watched her walk out, and my father closed the door behind her, turning to look at me with fire in his eyes.
"What?"
I asked.
"It wouldn't kill you to be a little nicer, Bennett."
He moved forward and sat on the corner of her desk.
"You're lucky to have her, you know."
I rolled my eyes and shook my head.
"If her personality were as appealing as her PowerPoint skills, we wouldn't have a problem."
He cut me off with a glare.
"Your mother called and told me to remind you about dinner tonight at the house. Henry and Mina are coming over with the baby." "I'll be there."
He made his way over to the door, stopping to look back at me.
"Don't be late."
"I won't, Christ!"
He knew as well as anyone that I don't show up late for anything, even something as simple as a family dinner. Henry, on the other hand, would be late to his own funeral. Finally alone, I stepped back into my office and collapsed into my chair. Okay, so maybe I was a little on edge. I reached into my pocket and pulled out what remained of her underwear, ready to discard them into my drawer with the others, when I noticed the tag. Agent Provocateur. She dropped a pretty penny on these. And it sparked my curiosity. I opened the drawer to examine the other two pair. La Perla. Damn, this woman was serious about her underwear. Maybe I should stop into the La Perla store downtown sometime and at least see how much my little collection was costing her. I ran my free hand through my hair and tossed them all back in the drawer, slamming it shut. I was officially out of my mind. As hard as I tried, I couldn't focus on a damn thing all day. Even after a vigorous lunchtime run, I still couldn't get my mind past the morning's events. By 3, I knew I had to get out of there. I reached the elevator and groaned slightly, opting for the stairs and then realizing that was an even worse mistake. I sprinted down 18 flights. Pulling up to my parents' home later that evening, I felt some of my tension slip away. As I walked into the kitchen, I was immediately engulfed by the familiar smell of Mom's cooking and my parents' happy chatter coming from the dining room. "Bennett," my mom sang as I stepped into the room. I bent down and kissed her cheek, allowing her a brief moment to try and fix my unruly hair. Finally, swatting her hands away, I grabbed a large bowl from her and placed it on the table, snatching a carrot as commission. Where's Henry? I asked, looking out toward the living room. They're not here yet, answered my dad as he walked in. Henry was bad enough, but throw in his wife and daughter, and they were lucky to even make it out of the house at all. I walked to the bar outside to make my mother a dry martini. 20 minutes later, the sounds of chaos came from the foyer, and I stepped in to meet them. A small, unstable body with a toothy grin hurled itself at my knees.
Benny!
The little girl squealed. I snatched Sophia up and smothered her cheeks with kisses.
God, you're pathetic, Henry groaned as he walked past me. As if you're any better.
You should both shut up if anyone wants my opinion, Mina added, following her husband into the dining room.
Sophia was the first grandchild and the princess of the family. As usual, she preferred to sit on my lap during dinner, and I tried to eat around her, doing my best to avoid her help. She definitely had me completely wrapped around her finger.
Bennett, I've been meaning to ask you, my mother began, handing me the bottle of wine. Would you invite Chloe to dinner next week, and do your best to convince her to actually come?
I groaned in response and received a quick kick in the shin from my father.
Christ, why is everyone so insistent on getting her over here? I asked.
Mom straightened, wearing her best firm mother face. She's in a strange city all alone and—
Mom, I interrupted. She's lived here since college. She's 26. It's not a strange city to her anymore.
Actually, Bennett, you're right, she answered with a rare edge in her voice. She came here for college, graduated summa cum laude, worked with your father for a few years before moving to your department and being the best employee you've ever had, all while she attends night school to get her degree. I think Chloe is pretty amazing, so I have someone I'd like her to meet.
My fork froze in midair as those words sank in. Mom wanted to set her up with someone? I tried to mentally file through all of the single men we knew and had to discount each of them immediately. Brad, too short. Damien, fucks anything that moves. Kyle, gay. Scott, dumb. Well, this was odd. I felt something constrict in my chest, but I wasn't sure what it was. If I had to put a name on it, I'd call it anger? Why would I be angry that my mom wanted to set her up? Probably because you're sleeping with her, dumbass. Well, not really sleeping with her so much as fucking her. Okay, fucked her. Twice. Fucking her would imply an intent to continue. Oh, also I felt her up in an elevator and was hoarding her shredded panties in my desk drawer. Creeper. I pressed my hands to my face.
Fine, I'll talk to her. But don't get your hopes up. She's about as charm-free as they come, so that's a hard deal to close.
You know, Ben, my brother chimed in, I think everyone here would agree that you are literally the only one who has a hard time getting along with her. I looked around the table, frowning at the heads bobbing up and down, agreeing with my idiot brother. The rest of the night consisted of more talk about how I needed to try and be nicer to Miss Mills, and about how great they all thought she was, and about how much she would like my mom's best friend's son, Joel. I had completely forgotten about Joel. He was nice enough, I guess. Except he'd played Barbies with his little sister until he was 14, and cried like a baby when he took a baseball to the shin in 10th grade. Mills would eat him alive. I laughed to myself at the thought. We also talked about the meetings we had lined up for this week. A big one was planned for Thursday afternoon, and I would be accompanying my father and brother. I knew that Miss Mills already had everything all planned and ready to go. Much as I hated to admit it, she was always two steps ahead and anticipated everything I needed. I left with the promise that I would do my best to convince her to come. Although, to be honest, I didn't even know when I would see her in the next few days. I had meetings and appointments all over the city, and I doubted that in those brief moments I was actually in the office, I would have much good to say. Glaring out the window as we crawled down South Michigan Avenue the next afternoon, I wondered if my day would ever improve. I hated sitting in traffic. The office was only a few blocks away, and I was seriously considering just having the driver take the car back and getting out and walking. It was already after 4, and we'd managed to travel only 3 blocks in 20 minutes. Perfect. Closing my eyes, I rested my head on the seat and recalled the meeting I had just left. Nothing in particular had gone wrong. In fact, quite the opposite. The clients had been thrilled with our proposals, and everything had gone off without a hitch. I just couldn't shake my horrible mood. Henry made a point of telling me every 15 minutes of the last 3 hours that I was behaving like a moody teenager, and by the time the contracts were signed, I wanted to beat the shit out of him. Every chance he got, he asked what the hell my problem was, and frankly, I couldn't say I blamed him. Even I had to admit I'd been a prick the last couple of days, and for me, that was saying something. Of course, Henry declared as he left to head home that my problem was I needed to get laid. If he only knew. It had been one day. Just one day since the event in the elevator left me rock hard and with an itching desire to touch every inch of her skin. The way I was acting, you'd think I hadn't had sex in 6 months. But no. Nearly 2 days of not touching her and I felt like a lunatic. The car stopped again, and I thought I would scream. My driver lowered the separator between the front and back seats, tossing me an apologetic smile. "Sorry, Mr. Ryan. I'm sure you're going crazy back there. We're only 4 blocks away. Would you rather walk?" Glancing out the tinted windows, I noticed we'd stopped right across the street from La Perla. "I can pull over just..." I was out of the car before he had a chance to finish his sentence. Standing on the curb, waiting to cross, it occurred to me that I didn't have a clue what point there would be to going inside. What was I planning on doing? Was I buying something, or just torturing myself? I stepped into the store and stopped in front of a long table covered with frilly lingerie. The floors were a warm honey wood, the ceilings littered with long cylindrical light fixtures, clustered into groups throughout the large room. The dim lighting cast the entire space in a soft, intimate glow, illuminating the tables and racks of expensive lingerie. Something about the delicate lace and satin brought on that all-too-familiar desire for her. Running my fingers along a table set near the front of the store, I became aware that I had already garnered the attention of the sales staff. A tall blonde walked toward me. "Welcome to La Perla," she said, looking me up and down like a lion eyeing a steak. It occurred to me that a woman in this business would know how much I paid for my suit, and that my cufflinks were real diamonds. Her eyes practically turned into flashing dollar signs. "Is there something I can help you find today? Maybe a gift for your wife? Your girlfriend, perhaps?" she added, a hint of flirtation in her voice. "No, thank you," I answered, suddenly feeling ridiculous for even being here. "I'm just looking."
"Well, if you change your mind, let me know," she said with a wink, before turning and making her way back to the sales counter.
I watched her walk away and was immediately disgusted that I hadn't even considered getting her number. Fuck. I wasn't a total man-whore, but a beautiful woman in a lingerie store, of all places, had just flirted with me, and it hadn't even occurred to me to flirt back. Christ, what the hell was wrong with me? I was just about to turn and leave when something caught my eye. I let my fingers run across the black lace garter belt hanging on a rack. I hadn't realized women really wore these outside of Playboy photo shoots until I'd started working with her. I remembered a meeting our first month working together. She had crossed her legs beneath the table and shifted in just the right way that her skirt rode up, revealing the delicate white strap attached to her stockings. It was the first time I'd seen evidence of her penchant for lingerie, but it wasn't the first time I'd had to spend the lunch hour beating off in my office thinking about her.
"See something you like?" I turned, startled to hear a familiar voice behind me. Shit. Miss Mills. But I'd never really seen her like this before. She looked stylish, as always, but completely casual. She was wearing dark-fitted jeans and a red tank top. Her hair was in a sexy ponytail, and without makeup or the glasses she sometimes wore around the office, she didn't look much older than 20. "What the hell are you doing here?" she asked, her fake smile slipping from her face.
"How is that any of your business?"
"Just curious. You don't have enough of my underwear that you have to start a collection of your own?" She glared at me, motioning to the garter belt still in my hands. I let go of it quickly.
No, I...
"What exactly do you do with them anyway? Do you have them tucked away somewhere like little mementos of your conquests?" She folded her arms across her chest, causing her breasts to push together. My eyes fell straight to her cleavage and my dick stirred in my pants.
"Jesus," I said, shaking my head. "Why do you have to be such a bitch all the time?"
I could feel the adrenaline trickling into my veins, feel my muscles tensing as I literally shook with lust and rage. "I guess you just bring out the best in me," she said. She was leaning forward, her chest nearly touching mine. Looking around, I noticed we were drawing attention from the other people in the store.
"Look," I said, trying to compose myself. "How about you calm down and lower your voice?"
I knew I had to get out of here soon, before something happened. For some sick reason, fighting with this woman always ended with her panties in my pocket.
"What are you doing here anyway? Why aren't you at work?"
She rolled her eyes. "I've been working for you for almost a year, so you'd think you'd remember that I check in with my advisor every other week. I just finished and wanted to do some shopping. Maybe you need to put an ankle bracelet on me so you can creepily stalk me full time. Though, hey, you managed to find me here without one." I glared at her, struggling to find something to say.
"You're always so fucking pissy with me."
"Nice one, Ben. Really clever."
"Come with me," she said, and grabbed hold of my arm, dragging me to the back of the store.
She pulled me around a corner and into a dressing room. She had obviously been here a while. There were piles of lingerie on the chairs, and hangers full of unidentifiable scraps of lace. Music was being piped through overhead speakers, and I was glad I wouldn't have to worry about keeping my voice down as I strangled her. Closing the large mirrored door opposite a silk-covered chaise, she stood with her eyes locked on mine.
"Did you follow me here?"
"Why the hell would I do that?"
"So you just happened to be browsing around a women's lingerie store. Just some pervy thing you do in your spare time?"
"Get over yourself, Miss Mills."
"You know, it's a good thing you've got that big dick to make up for that mouth of yours."
I found myself leaning forward, whispering, "I'm pretty sure you'd be thrilled with my mouth, too." Suddenly, everything felt too intense, too loud, too vivid. Her chest was heaving and her gaze shifted to my mouth as she bit her bottom lip. Slowly wrapping my tie around her fist, she pulled me to her. I opened my mouth, feeling her soft tongue press forward. I couldn't pull back now, and slid one hand to her jaw and the other up to her hair. I removed the clip holding her ponytail, and soft waves fell around my hand. I fisted the mass tightly, jerking her head to better accommodate my mouth. I needed more. I needed all of her. She moaned, and I pulled it tighter.
"You like that?"
"God, yes." At that moment, hearing those words, I didn't care about anything else. Where we were, who we were, or how we felt about each other, never in my life had I felt such raw chemistry with anyone. When we were together like this, nothing else mattered. My hands ran down her sides and I gripped the hem of her shirt, bringing it up and over her head, breaking our kiss for only a second. Not to be left behind, she pushed my jacket from my shoulders and it dropped to the floor. My thumbs ran circles across her skin as I moved my hands to the waist of her jeans.
Quickly undone, they fell to the floor, and she kicked them off along with her sandals. I kissed down her neck and shoulders.
"Damn," I growled.
Looking up, I could see her perfect body reflected back at me in the full-length mirror. I had fantasized about her undressed more times than I could probably admit, but reality, in daylight, was better. So much better. She was wearing sheer black panties that only covered half her ass, and a matching bra, her silky hair spilling down across her back. The muscles in her long-toned legs flexed as she pushed up on her toes to reach my neck. The visual, along with the feeling of her lips, made my dick push painfully against the confines of my pants. She bit my ear hard as her hands went to the buttons of my shirt.
"I think you like it rough, too."
I undid my pants and belt, pushing them and my boxers to the floor, and then pulled her with me to the chaise. A thrill shot through me as my hands moved around her ribs to the clasp of her bra. Her breasts pressed against me as if urging me on, and I kissed along her neck as my fingers quickly unhooked her bra and I slipped the straps from her shoulders. I pulled back slightly to allow the garment to fall, and for the first time took in the full view of her breasts completely bared to me. Fucking perfect. In my fantasies, I'd done everything to them. Touched them, kissed them, sucked them, fucked them. But nothing compared to the reality of just staring at them. Her hips rolled over me, and nothing but her tiny panties separated us. I buried my face in her chest, and her hands ran through my hair, pulling me closer.
"You want to taste me?"
she whispered, staring down at me. She pulled my hair hard enough to yank my head away from her skin. I had no smart-ass remark. Nothing biting to get her to stop talking and just fuck me. I did want to taste her skin. I wanted it more than I think I'd ever wanted anything. "Yeah."
"Ask nicely, then."
"Fuck asking nicely. Let me go." She whimpered, leaning forward to let me suck a perfect nipple into my mouth, causing her to pull harder on my hair. Damn, that felt good. So many thoughts ran through my mind. There was nothing in this world I wanted more than to bury myself in her. But I knew when it was over I would hate us both. Her for making me weak, and myself for allowing lust to override my common sense. But I also knew I couldn't stop. I had turned into a junkie, living for my next fix. My perfectly constructed life was crashing around me, and all I cared about was feeling her. Sliding my hands down her sides, I let my fingers run along the waist of her underwear. A shiver went through her, and I closed my eyes tightly as I bound the material in my hand, willing myself to stop.
"Go ahead and rip them. You know you want to,"
she murmured into my ear and then bit down hard. A half second later, her panties were nothing but a mess of lace in the corner of the room. Grabbing her hips roughly, I lifted her and held the base of my dick with the other hand and pulled her down onto me. The feeling was so intense that I had to forcefully still her hips to keep from exploding. If I lost it now, she would only throw it back in my face later, and I wouldn't give her the satisfaction. Once I felt in control again, I began moving her hips. We hadn't been in this position yet, her on top, face to face, and even though I hated to admit it, our bodies fit together perfectly. Bringing my hands down her hips to her legs, I gripped one in each hand and wrapped them around my waist. The change of position brought me deeper inside her, and I buried my face in her neck to keep from groaning out loud. I was aware of the sounds of voices all around us as people entered and left the other dressing rooms. The thought that we could get caught at any moment only made this better. Her back arched as she stifled a moan and her head fell back. The deceptively innocent way she bit her lip was driving me crazy. Once again, I found myself looking over her shoulder to watch us in the mirror,
I had never seen anything so erotic in my entire life. She pulled my hair once again, guiding my mouth back to hers, our tongues gliding together, matching the motion of our hips. "You look so good over me," I whispered into her mouth. "Turn around. You need to see something." I pulled her up and turned her to face the mirror. With her back against my chest, she lowered herself back onto me. "Oh, God," she said. She breathed out heavily as her head fell back against my shoulder, and I was unsure if it was from the feeling of me inside her or the image reflected in the mirror, or both. I gripped her hair and forced her head back up. "No, I want you to look right there," I growled in her ear, meeting her gaze in the mirror. "I want you to watch. And tomorrow, when you're sore, I want you to remember who did it to you." "Stop talking," she said. But she shivered, and I knew she loved every word. Her hands ran up her body and behind her until they dug into my hair. I touched every inch of her body, and I trailed biting kisses along the back of her shoulders. In the mirror, I could see myself sliding in and out of her, and as much as I didn't want these memories in my head, I knew that was a sight I would never forget. I moved one hand down to her clit. "Oh, shit," she whispered. "Please." "Like this?" I asked, pressing, circling. "Yes, please, more, please, please." Our bodies were now covered in a thin sheen of sweat, leaving her hair sticking slightly to her forehead. Her gaze never left where we came together as we continued to move against each other, and I knew we were both close. I wanted her to meet my eyes in the mirror, and then immediately knew it would show her too much. I didn't want her to see so plainly what she was doing to me. The voices around us continued, completely unaware of what was going on in this tiny room. If I didn't do something, our little secret would not be kept for long. As her movements became more frenzied and her hands gripped my hair tighter and tighter, I pressed my hand against her mouth, stifling her scream as she came apart around me. I muffled my own moans against her shoulder, and with a few more thrusts, I exploded deep inside her. Her body slumped into me as I leaned back against the wall. I needed to get up. I needed to get up and dress. But I didn't think my shaky legs could carry me. Any hope I'd had that the sex would become less intense and that I would get over this obsession was quickly being crushed. Reason was slowly beginning to seep back into my consciousness, along with the disappointment that I had once again succumbed to this weakness. I shifted her up and off my lap before bending to reach for my boxers. When she turned and looked at me, I expected hatred or indifference. But there was something vulnerable in her eyes before they snapped shut and she looked away. We both dressed in silence. The fitting room area suddenly seemed too quiet and too small, and I was overly aware of each breath she took. Straightening my tie, I picked up the torn panties from the floor, depositing them in my pocket. I went to grab the door handle and stopped. Reaching out, I ran my hands slowly along the lacy fabric hanging from one of the hooks on the wall. I met her eyes and said, "Get the garter belt, too." And without looking back, I walked out of the dressing room. Five. There were 83 vents, 29 screws, 5 blades, and 4 bulbs on the ceiling fan above my bed. I rolled to my side, certain muscles mocking me and providing undeniable proof of why I was unable to sleep. "I want you to watch. And tomorrow, when you're sore, I want you to remember who did it to you." He wasn't kidding. Without realizing it, my hand had traveled to my breast, absently twisting my nipple beneath my tank top. Closing my eyes, the touch of my own hands turned into his in my memory. His long, graceful fingers ghosting along the undersides of my breasts. His thumbs brushing my nipples, cupping me in his large palms. Damn it. I let out a loud sigh and kicked a pillow off my bed. I knew exactly where this train of thought was headed. I had done this exact same thing 3 nights in a row, and it had to stop now. With a huff, I rolled over onto my stomach and closed my eyes tight, willing sleep to come. As if that ever worked. I still remembered, with perfect clarity, the day almost a year and a half ago when Elliot asked me up to his office for a talk. I'd started at RMG, working as a junior assistant for Elliot when I was in college. When my mother died, Elliot had taken me under his wing. Not so much a father figure, but certainly as a caring and warm mentor who had me to his home for dinner to keep an eye on my emotional state. He'd insisted his door would always be open for me. But on that particular morning, when he phoned my office, he sounded uncharacteristically formal, and frankly, I was scared shitless. In his office, he'd explained how his youngest son had lived in Paris for the past 6 years, working as a marketing executive for L'Oreal. This son, Bennett, was finally coming home, and in 6 months would take over the position of chief operating officer at Ryan Media. Elliot knew I was a year into my business degree and was looking into internship options that would give me the critical hands-on experience I needed. He insisted I complete my master's internship at RMG, and that the youngest Mr. Ryan would be more than thrilled to have me on his team. Elliot handed me the company-wide memo that would circulate the following week to announce Bennett Ryan's arrival. Wow. That was my only thought as I looked over the paper on my way back to my office. Executive VP of Product Marketing at L'Oreal in Paris. Youngest nominee ever featured in the Crane's 40 Under 40 list. Published several times in the Wall Street Journal. A dual MBA from NYU Stern School of Business and HEC Paris, where he specialized in corporate finance and global business, graduating summa cum laude. All by the age of 30. Christ. What was it Elliot had said? Extremely driven? That was an understatement if I'd ever heard one. Henry had hinted that his brother didn't quite share his laid-back personality, but when I'd seemed concerned, he quickly put my mind at ease. He has a tendency to be a bit stiff and completely anal-retentive at times, but don't worry about it, Chloe. You can handle his bark. You guys are going to be a great team. I mean, come on, he said, wrapping his large arm around me. How could he not love you? I hated to admit it now, but by the time he was set to arrive, I had developed a bit of a crush on Bennett Ryan. I was extremely anxious about working with him, but I was also impressed with everything he'd accomplished in his relatively short life. Looking up his picture online didn't hurt either. The man was a specimen. We communicated through email leading up to his arrival, and although he seemed nice enough, he was never overly friendly. On the big day, Bennett wasn't due in until after the board meeting that afternoon, when he would be officially introduced. I had the entire day to work myself up into a ball of nerves. Being the good friend she is, Sarah came upstairs to distract me. She sat in my chair and we spent over an hour discussing the merits of the Clerks movies. Soon I was laughing so hard I had tears running down my face. I didn't notice that Sarah stiffened when the outer office door opened, and I didn't notice that someone was now standing behind me. And, though Sarah tried to warn me with a swift hand across the throat, the universal sign for shut the fuck up, I ignored her. Because, apparently, I'm an idiot. And then, I said, giggling and holding onto my sides, she says, fuck, I had to take a fucking order off a guy I blew after junior prom once. And then he says, yeah, I've waited on your brother too. Another bout of laughter hit me and I stumbled backward a bit until I collided with something hard and warm.
Spinning around, I was mortified to see